From the Len DeGrent University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of January, 2023. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason on the road with the Illinois Farm Economics Summits this week. Today, we're in East Peoria at the Paradise Hotel. Tomorrow, we'll be in DeKalb at Ferrandis. You can join us 7:45 a.m. We'll open our doors. Walk-ins are welcome. We'll start the program at 8:20. It's a morning-long event, finishing up with your noon hour meal. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM, Total Grain Marketing. Joanna Colucci, who's traveling with us for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits, will discuss Brazil, Argentina production prospects there and how that has developed over the last 2.5 decades. And then we'll take up the weather forecast as we close out our time together. Drew Lerner will be here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois. Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, as you know, I'm traveling, so no update of the settlement prices from the CME Group in Chicago. However, Greg Johnson has joined us to talk about what's how the marketplace has been doing. Hi, Greg. Thank you for being with us today. What happened in Chicago through the midday?
It's a very quiet day-to-day. Last week we were down. This week we're up a little bit with the higher markets today. For the week, corn is up a whole penny and beans are up a couple of cents. So we're consolidating today, this week, last week, ahead of the big USDA reports to be released tomorrow morning. The trade is waiting for quarterly stocks, production estimates. We'll also get South American updates, ending stocks, a lot of numbers tomorrow. Traditionally, the January report is a big market mover, so traders are not sure which way they want to go, and so we've seen a lot of evening up ahead of that report, and that kind of explains the consolidation, slight movements here today, and I guess all week and all last week for that matter.
It does set the tone usually for the next 3 months or so to the point at which we get to the prospective plantings report, which comes at the end of the month of March. I need some advice from you, simply because last week, and I'll have new crop corn to sell this year, I missed on Friday by 2 cents a target sale that I had in. Do I go ahead and make a sale today to cover my input cost? And I know you can just bounce around that sum just a little bit.
Well, I think we're in the lower half of the range. December corn for new crop is, I'm kind of using $6 as a target. And, you know, we can trade 15 cents either side of that. And we have traded 15 cents either side of that here in the last several months. So the fact that we're about 10 cents below that today, makes me, I'm maybe quibbling over exact points, but I think we've got a shot to see $6 December corn. I think that's a good place to start. If you look at the big picture, we've got a 1.3 roughly billion bushel carryout this year, but if we get the acres planted that some of the private analysts are using, and if we use a normal crop yield, and I know those are the two big assumptions, but if we assume we were going to get the acres and the yield, we would have a 2 billion bushel carryout next year. So 2 billion bushel carryout does not equal $6 corn. So if we get a chance to sell $6 corn or anything close to it, I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah, just so you know, this week at the Illinois Farm Economic Summits, Joe Jansen has been presenting some numbers as it relates to grain outlook, has a supply and demand chart for 2023 corn. He has a season's average cash price of $5.10 a bushel. We talked with him yesterday on the Closing Market Report. You can find that in the podcast section. Just look for that under podcast at willag.org, and you'll see tomorrow's closing, or yesterday's Closing Market Report there. And he was also using a stocks-to-use ratio of about 15%. And he said, while that's not quite burdensome, it is getting there. I suppose that's what you're trying to tell us.
Exactly. The 1.2 billion stocks number, or ending stocks number, soon to be 1.3 if you believe the average trade guess, is relatively tight. So we're basically one short crop away from higher prices, but we're just one good crop away from lower prices. And I know that sounds very simplistic, but really, that's where we're at on both corn and soybeans. The stocks are so tight, but the potential for a pretty good crop is in the cards potentially. So the market doesn't know which way to go. We'll probably break out of this consolidation range one way or the other at some point in time. But as you said, we don't know what the prospective plannings number will be until March. And so until then, we've kind of, you know, we'll wait to take some direction from the reports tomorrow.
On corn, what do the fundamentals of consumption, exports, feed, and ethanol feel like to you at the moment?
Yeah, right now we look for exports to be down tomorrow. We're about 18% behind pace. So I don't think there's any way the government can help but reduce exports tomorrow. Ethanol margins are pretty much break even. At times they're actually slightly negative. And crude oil prices have dropped slightly. So crude oil prices determine ethanol prices, which determine corn prices. So I guess I would look for ethanol demand to be unchanged, maybe just a little bit lower. And livestock usage feed numbers should be okay. I know there's been some talk about the avian bird flu reducing demand, but that number may be left unchanged. But overall, I think we'll see two of the three main demand factors probably drop tomorrow in the USDA report.
Anything of import from the soy complex?
Well, Argentina's crop will be lowered. But, you know, I always try to remind people, keep the big picture in mind. Argentina grows about 1.8 billion bushels. I always like to convert the metric tons number to bushels because I can think in bushels. Brazil, on the other hand, grows three times as many at 5.3 billion bushels. So while we are going to drop the Argentine bean crop tomorrow, and that is helping the bean market out to some extent, the big picture is I think Brazil's production can more than offset the decline in Argentina. So once again, it's going to boil down to how many acres get planted in the U.S. and what kind of weather we have this coming spring and summer.
Hey, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM, Total Grain Marketing. By the way, we'll talk more about that Brazilian and Argentine crop in just a moment with Joanna Colucci. She's presenting at the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Well, again, we're traveling this week with the Illinois Farm Economics Summit. Joanna Colucci, who is a postdoctorate at the University of Illinois and has been part of the FarmDoc team for a couple of years now, has been making presentations on South American crops and production, in particular out of Argentina and Brazil. And she has great insight into this area. She is from Brazil. Thank you very much for being with us. Tell me a little bit about your background first.
Thank you so much, Todd. You are very welcome. I am journalist, and I'm master's in agribusiness and PhD in management, and current a postdoctoral at University of Illinois.
And you've been a journalist for 10 years covering agriculture, so this is your beat. You've been back over the holidays to your home in the northwestern portion of Rio Grande do Sul. That's the southernmost state in Brazil, near to the northern parts of Argentina. There are some weather issues there. They're not great, meaning they're not horrid at this time, but can you give me kind of a crop update from the last month?
Yes, we are facing, again, La Niña year. So La Niña year means drought weather in the south of Brazil and Argentina. So far, the big concern is regarding the corn fields that they need water in December and January. There are some regions in the northwest of Rio Grande do Sul that the losses are irreversible. Regarding corn, the situation is a little bit better because the crucial period for soybeans in the south of Brazil is in February, so you have some weeks to chime to the weather change maybe there, but again, we are facing a La Niña year, and La Niña year represents dry weather in the south of Brazil and excessive rains in the center west and the southeast. That's happened at this moment because the soybean harvests have started in center west, in Mato Grosso, Mato Grosso do Sul, and Goiás, and there is a concern about excessive rains at this time there.
Can you give me an update on the Argentine weather and what crop prospects look like? It's been a long time that the drought has been in place in that part of the world now.
Yes, we are in the 30-year La Niña in a row, and Argentina, it's affected directly, especially because the agriculture production is concentrated in Pampas region. And in this Pampa region, they have the driest weather through September to December over the last 30 years. That means losses in wheat production and concern regarding corn and soybeans again. The planting time now in Argentina is in the on the average, but more than 70% of the soybeans in Argentina were planted outside of the ideal period. So there is a concern about the yields. Even corn and soybeans in Argentina, where the situation for sure is much more there is more concern than in Brazil because the agriculture is concentrating the same region, in Pampas region.
So clearly Brazil, Argentina for several decades has been a player on the world market. Brazil in the last two decades, a really big player on the world markets. Infrastructure had been a problem. I'm wondering what the port and roadway situation looks across those areas. In Rosario, Argentina, Bunge owns what is the most important port in Argentina, maybe in parts of South America. The river there had been and probably continues to be really low. I haven't heard about that again this year, but in the past it's caused problems, of course, trying to get barges that far up the river. What does the situation for infrastructure look like in Brazil today?
If you look the last few years, Brazil received a lot of investments in railroads and waterways and in ports too. Historically, Brazil depends on the ports in the south east, like São Paulo, Santos, Paranaguá, in Paraná. But in recent years, the investments in the north ports in the states in the northeast of Brazil help a lot to transport the beans and corn from the center west. So today, depending on the region in Brazil, for example, Mato Piba, Maranhão, Tocantins, Piauí, and Bahia, four states in the northeast of Brazil, the farmers don't need to drive from this region to the southeast. They can transport the beans and corn to the northeast and use these ports. Today, around 50% of the grains in Brazil are exports by the north ports, and 50% through the south ports. This is a very new for Brazil that many years you depend just use the ports in the southeast. And in addition, we have a lot of investments in new railroads that help Brazilian farmers to reduce its cost production, because we know that the transportation historically was a huge cost for Brazilian agriculture. And if you compare today U.S. and Brazilian costs, you cannot see a big difference anymore when you talk about the cost of the transportation.
Geographically, these ports would be located, I think, mostly along the Amazon River, maybe along the coastline as well.
Yeah, along the coast. We have in the Amazon River too, but in the coastline, in the Piauí state, the port, the name is Port of Itaqui, in the northeast. That's a very important port today. And Santarém in the state of Pará.
How is Brazil poised to compete on the world market in the coming decade?
So today Brazil is number one in soybean producer and export. When you think about corn, for example, Brazil is increased its exports. Last year, Brazil and China signed one agreement to export Brazilian corn to China. The shipments started in last November, and in 2022, Brazil hit a record in corn exports. For 2023, there is an expectation that Brazil could reach 50 million metric tons of the corn exports. This number is pretty close to the U.S. Corn exports. The forecast, according to USDA data for 2023 for corn exports, is 53 million metric tons. So if Brazil reached 50 million metric tons in 2023, maybe in 2024 or 2025, Brazil could surpass the United States as a major corn export.
Thank you much, Joanna.
Thank you, Todd.
Joanna Colucci is a member of the Farm Doc team. She's on the road with us at the Illinois Farm Economics Summits this week. Tomorrow we'll be in DeKalb. Doors open at 7:45. The program starts at 8:20. If you'd like to walk in, you can register tomorrow morning at Ferrandas in DeKalb. The cost is $90. Let's check the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Thanks, Drew, for being with us today. I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's going to be a fairly good day across a big part of the U.S. today with a lot of warmth expected. But so anyway, everybody should be able to enjoy that for a bit.
I know. I enjoyed it yesterday in southern Illinois. Today, I'm looking forward to the drive from Peoria to DeKalb for our next Illinois Farm Economics Summit meeting. But first, we probably ought to talk about not such great conditions and maybe a lot of sunshine that has taken place in Argentina. Drought continues there. At what point does it just become a lost cause?
I think we're at that that crossroad right now. You know, they can plant a lot of crop into the first days of January. There's the late season soybean, late double crop soybeans often get planted in January after the wheat is harvested, but you can't do a whole lot after that. And the window shrinks down to pretty much nothing by the time you get into the latter part of January. So with the forecast being what it is, which is a drier biased one still for the central and southern portions of the country, I think our clock has pretty much run out here. We're going to see a more notable impact on production potentials if we can't turn things around right away. Now, with that said, we have to keep in mind that there's an early crop and a late crop. The early crop, corn and sunseed, are in the midst of reproduction. The stressful conditions that are present now and that have occurred fairly often in recent weeks has taken a significant amount of yield out of that early crop. And the bottom line doesn't look good for that crop at all. Now, that crop was smaller than usual because it was dry, so they didn't get as much planted as they thought, so they waited longer to plant. And well, they've been planting here more recently, trying to get the crop in the ground in time for better rains, but the better rains haven't really occurred. We've had a couple of rounds of moisture, but it's really not a very good scenario. The topsoil moisture assessment we did earlier this week shows the topsoil is completely dry in most of the country. There was several days of 90 to lower 100 degree temperatures over the weekend and earlier this week, and that just depleted the topsoil of moisture. So now we can't even germinate a crop, let alone put some seed in the ground in some cases where it's really driest. Subsoil moisture is only a step better. So the bottom line here is if it doesn't rain substantially right away, we're going to have a real problem with getting the last of the crop in the ground and the last of the crop to emerge and establish favorably while we're still reproducing that early crop and it's still stressed. And so it really doesn't look too good right now for Argentina.
In the neighboring nation of Brazil, the state of Rio Grande do Sul, the northwestern corner, I'm told by Joanna Colucci, who's been traveling with us. She is from Brazil, but is part of the Farm Doc team. Was just down there for the month with her family over the holiday season. Showed us some pictures of soybeans that looked beautiful, but corn that really was stressed. What are conditions like there?
Yeah, there is a lot of variation. The biggest problem in Rio Grande do Sul from our data is farther to the south in rice country and in the southern corn areas. Those areas have really not done well with rain for quite a while. They're somewhat caught up with Argentina's drought. And so they're going to continue to be stressed for a while in that particular region. The northern areas where those soybeans are, there's been some timely precipitation. There has been a recent tendency to get a little dry here recently, but I don't think we've ever been persistently dry like in Argentina, where we would just take away a lot of production. So I agree that the northern part of Rio Grande should be in relatively good shape. There's certainly they could use a little better distribution of rain, but it's not a crisis. You get into the south, like I said, it's more rice country when you get close to the Uruguay border. But there is corn that's produced in central and southern portions of the state, and they definitely need a good drink of water. In the meantime, the rest of Brazil is in tip-top shape. There's been some chatter in the marketplace this week about too much moisture in Minas Gerais, Goiás, and São Paulo, maybe a couple of other spots. But it looks like the heavier rains are going to back off just in time for maturation and early season soybean harvesting. So I think it's going to be a fairly big crop over there.
Here in the United States, the warm temperatures you talked about as we began our conversation have producers in probably the far eastern part of the Corn Belt a little worried, I think, because they're relatively dry.
That is true. The entire last quarter of 2022 generated below normal precipitation in much of the eastern Midwest. Now, there was timely precipitation, and we did have seasonal cooling take place, and so we did conserve moisture that did occur. So the moisture profile doesn't look terrible, but down deep in the ground, we are lacking some moisture. And that is a concern because we do have some evidence that the spring season might be a little below normal on precipitation in that particular part of the country. And so we're hoping that we can get a big increase in precipitation to take place in these next few weeks while we are still cool, so that we can at least get the crop in the ground and get it established without any issues. I'm not really trying to suggest we're going to have a big problem, but Indiana and Ohio in particular have really taken it on the chin. I think the month of December, they only had 25 to 50% of normal precipition. So that's a little worrisome, especially with these temperatures that are warm right now. But we do have opportunity for rain coming up. We'll see some rain occur over these next few days. And then we'll have another opportunity for precipitation to come around during the early part of next week and one more in the middle to latter part of next week. Then after that, we're going to do another trend change. We're going to bring a northwest flow in, much colder temperatures, less precipitation for a while. But we're hoping that the moisture that comes up here over the next week to week and a half is going to be sufficient for improving that topsoil moisture situation.
And finally, what do you see in the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the United States?
Yeah, today the forecast models got a little excited about a couple of opportunities for rain in hard red winter wheat country. I think the both European and the GFS model forecast runs today had differing opinions about when it would rain and how much of significance would take place. To be honest with you, I'm not really on board with either one of the models. I think they're both overdoing the precipitation, but there will be an opportunity for a couple of weak little systems coming across the region that'll maybe just put a little bit of topsoil moisture back into the ground before we go into this trend change that I mentioned for the latter part of next week. Once that trend change occurs, the potential for precipitation will come to an end in hard red winter wheat country, and we'll go into a cooler weather mode again. So these next couple of disturbances coming up will be very important, but I don't think they're going to be as beneficial as the models are trying to make it today.
Thank you very much, Drew.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.